بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا من فضلك علما وتعليما، إنك على كل شيء قدير. أما بعد، فالسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alhamdulillahi wa shukurillah, Ramadan Mubarak. Alhamdulillah, every single year, every single Ramadan between this period after Iftar, right before Isha, we always come together and we give about 15 or 20 minutes focusing on something of benefit every year. And for the past 8 Ramadans, we've been looking at different areas, different subjects. The very first time we did this, 8 Ramadans ago, we were looking at a thematic tafsir. So we were looking at select verses within each juz we were reciting or hearing that night. And we were looking at some of the deeper meanings of those ayat. And this Ramadan, we're going to be looking at a neglected subject. And this is the subject of fada'ilul Qur'an, or the virtues of the Qur'an. The virtues of the Qur'an as a subject is actually a subset of the greater sciences of the Qur'an. We have what is known as ulumul Qur'an, which gathers many different sub-sciences. One of those sciences or areas of study is concerning the virtues and merits of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so tonight, this is an introduction, and I just want us to hopefully orient ourselves and see the importance of learning about the virtues of the Quran, specifically in this month, the month of Ramadan. If you ask anyone, what is it that you seek in Ramadan? You'll get a variety of answers. Some people will say, I want to draw closer to Allah. Some will say, I want to feel spiritual, or I want to pray a lot more than I normally do. I want to reconnect with my faith. They give all these different answers. And much of these answers that people give to what are they seeking in the month of Ramadan are answers premised on what it means to them. But we need to actually go back and see what Ramadan is intended for according to the standard set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because sometimes what Allah has sought from us in Ramadan is a little bit different from what we're seeking out of Ramadan. Even if we're seeking good things, maybe we're not seeking it exactly the way Allah Ta'ala wants us to seek it. So when we go into the Qur'an, the book of Allah, we see that Allah Ta'ala mentions two objectives behind fasting in Ramadan. The first one, Allah Ta'ala mentions in the verse that you all know, that we hear it every single year. O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed for you as it was prescribed upon those before you. For what reason? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that perhaps you may exercise taqwa. That is the first maqsad, the first objective, developing taqwa. The second objective, or the second purpose behind Ramadan, is mentioned in the Qur'an, where Allah Ta'ala says, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِّنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ. It was in the month of Ramadan that the Qur'an was revealed as guidance for mankind, clear messages giving guidance and distinguishing between right and wrong. So we know that the objective behind fasting in Ramadan is connected to these two verses, developing taqwa, the self-discipline and restraint that we call taqwa. And the second one is connecting Ramadan, our fasting, with the Quran and the fact that it was revealed in this month, the month of Ramadan. Now, the Prophet ﷺ has told us that fasting is not limited to hunger and thirst or having elaborate iftars and so on. In fact, he said that one might fast and he gets nothing from his fast except hunger. And a person might pray in the night and all he gets from his salat is fatigue. This is the hadith in Ibn Majah. So the path of Ramadan, if you think about these two verses, the verse that connects Ramadan to taqwa and the one that connects it to the Quran, you realize that Ramadan is amazingly simple. It's amazingly simple. Number one is divinely imposed discipline through fasting and extra worship, and then seeking Allah's guidance by spending more time with the Quran, because it was revealed in this month. And to this second end, the revelation of the Quran in this month, we wanted to look at some of the fada'il, the virtues of the Quran, looking at what is presented in this subset of the sciences of the Quran, fada'il al-Quran. So let's look at this verse a little bit so we can orient ourselves. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنَ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِّنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ. It is the month of Ramadan in which the Quran was revealed, guidance for mankind, clear messages giving guidance, and distinguishing between right and wrong. When we go to the works of Tafasir, we find amazing commentaries by the scholars about this verse and how Ramadan and the Quran are connected. Imam Fakhruddin Ar-Razi, rahmatullahi alayhi, he says that Ramadan is the month in which the greatest sign of the signs of Allah's lordship manifested. Because the greatest sign, the greatest of miracles manifested in the revelation of the Quran. He says that because this month is the month that received the greatest manifestation of Allah's rububiyyah, the Quran, it has been selected for a special obligation. So why don't we fast in the other months all through it as an obligation? Why are we fasting in Ramadan as an act of worship, as an obligation, as a pillar of Islam? Why was Ramadan selected? That's the question. And the answer he gives is because it was such a special month, because it was the month in which the Quran was revealed. You have a special obligation connected with that month. That is fasting. He goes on to say that the guidance of Allah, the lights of guidance, these things continuously descend, but people are veiled. And what veils people, he says, are the dense, physical, material things that they're always engrossed in. The eating, the drinking, the consuming, all of these things of the physical, these things cloud their vision. And in order to witness those lights and to receive that guidance, you need to minimize the material and maximize the spiritual. And that is why we fast in the month of Ramadan, because fasting is one of the best ways to weaken the dense physical barriers. And so we see the connection between fasting and the Quran, connecting with those meanings. Now the Quran, the book of Allah Ta'ala, was revealed in its entirety in the month of Ramadan. A lot of people don't know that. Now, the Quran was revealed in its entirety in the month of Ramadan. And then after that, it was revealed munajjama, as the scholars say, based on the hadith, meaning it was revealed in sections to the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam over a 23-year period. So here you have two descents, as it were. You have revelation or the sending down of the Quran in its entirety, and then you have it being revealed to the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam in segments. So this brings up a question: why wasn't the Quran revealed all at once to the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Surely that's within the realm of divine possibility. Allah surely is capable of revealing the entire Quran to His blessed heart, all at once. But instead, He revealed it in segments over a period of 23 years. This is mentioned in Surah Al-Furqan. Allah Ta'ala says, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنُ جُمْلَةً وَاحِدًا كَذَلِكَ لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. The disbelievers would say, were it not so, or why not was the Quran revealed all at once? That was their objection. And Allah Ta'ala responded, كَذَلِكَ لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. Thus we did so to make your heart firm. Now Imam al-Razi says that there's a number of lessons for why the Quran was revealed in portions over a 23-year period and not all at once. He says, number one, Ar-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ummi. He was an unlettered individual. Number two, by it being revealed in segments, it made it easier to memorize. If someone gives you the mushaf all at once and says, here, go sit in the corner and do hifl of it, don't get up until you're done, it's not going to happen, right? That's for you and for me. But if someone tells you, okay, do a half a page every single day, it's possible, it's very easy, right? So it being revealed over time means it is easier to memorize. Number three, he says, if the Quran was revealed all at once, that means that all of its laws are also being revealed all at once. Now the deen is established, the sharia is complete now, but in that time, the laws were coming down in a certain interval based on what was going on as the community was developing. If the Quran was revealed all at once, that means all of the rulings would have taken place and been in effect all at once. And this would have been extremely difficult for the early community. But by it being revealed in segments, it made it easier to practice. Number four, he said, by the Quran being revealed in segments, it means that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had contact with the angel Jibreel more than once. Had it been revealed once, one contact, and that's done. But because it was revealed in segments, each time he is having this encounter with the angel Jibreel alayhi salam, and in that there's blessings and there is closeness and there's the enjoyment of that angelic presence. So we're exploring Fada'il al-Quran, and tonight we're just introducing the subject. What does the Quran mean? Before we even talk about the virtues of the Quran, we have to know, well, what does the Quran even mean? We talk about the meanings of words in Arabic, and then we look at the technical meanings. But in Arabic, the word Quran has been discussed at great length by the scholars. Some, like Imam al-Shafi'i, say that the word Quran, it's not even derived from a prior root word. It's just murtajil, it's just a non-derived noun. Others say, no, it's mushtaq, it's derived. Some say that it is derived from qarana. Qarana in Arabic means to connect or to pair something, right? Your qareen, in a sense, is your partner. The qarn of an animal is the horn, because there's two, and they're paired. So qarana in Arabic means to pair or to connect. And so they say that it is called the Quran because it is the connecting revelation. It connects verses with verses, chapters with chapters until you have a whole. And it's paired with ayat in the cosmos and ayat in rulings. It's about the unseen. It's about warnings and glad tidings. It's about promises. Everything is connected in a holistic framework for the guidance of man. That's why they say Quran comes from qarana, to pair or connect. Others say that, no. They say, no, it comes from qara'a. Qara'a means recitation. and the alif and lam the alif and nun are za'ida. They are super added to the word. Because in Arabic, you have that phenomena. You have words that will have the alif and nun added to it, giving, these are huruf za'ida. So if you say ghafara, ghafara is to forgive, right? Then you have the word ghufran. Khasira, to lose. You have the word khusran, right? You have rajaha, rujhan. You have naqasa, nuqsan. And so they say qara'a here, Qur'an, from recital or recitation. And Imam Zajjaj says that it comes from qur, which means recitation. So these are just some of the views about the linguistic meaning of Qur'an. But we're not as concerned about the linguistic meaning as we are with the technical meaning. Meaning, al-ma'na al-istilahi. What is the precise meaning of the Qur'an as we define it? Now, linguistically, we say it is the unifying, joining, connecting scripture that encompasses, that distills, and clarifies the truths and universal principles within all of the previous revealed scriptures. But the technical meaning, according to the ulama, is Al-Qur'an huwa al-lafzul munazzal ala Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam lit-tahaddi. They say that it is the expression revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam lit-tahaddi, as a enduring challenge that no one can replicate, no one can copy. That's the technical meaning. So this Ramadan, as we said, we want to connect the Qur'an to Ramadan more deeply by looking at this science called Fada'ilul Qur'an. As we said, this is a particular sub-science from the sciences of the Qur'an. And what it does is examine the ayat of the Qur'an that describe the excellent qualities of the Qur'an and the hadith narrations that describe the excellent qualities of the Qur'an and the virtues of reciting the Qur'an, the virtues of memorizing the Qur'an, the warnings against neglecting the Qur'an, the virtues of those who carry and bear the Qur'an, the virtues of those who teach it and learn it and study. All of these virtues and more are covered in this genre of Fada'il al-Qur'an. And for this program, inshallah, because we have 29 evenings, we'll be using 4 or 5 resources. In this sub-science of the sciences of the Qur'an, we have the very first work compiled in Islamic history on the subject, which is the book Fada'il al-Qur'an wa ma'alimuhu wa adabuhu. And this is by Al-Imam Abu Ubaid Qasim ibn Salam. And this author was a major scholar who compiled this work. He died in the year 202 after Hijrah. This is the earliest work. Then you have Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahid al-Ghafiqi's Lamahatul Anwar. He died in the year 619 after Hijrah. His work on the virtues of the Quran is 1600 pages. That seems like a lot. The reason why it's so big is because he has all of the asanid, all of the chains of transmission. That makes it take up a lot of space. Then you have Ibn Abi Dawood's Kitab al-Masahif. He died in the year 316 after Hijrah. That's the son of Abu Dawood, the hadith compiler. His son, Ibn Abi Dawood, has a 2-volume work called Kitab al-Masahif, which touches on Fada'il al-Qur'an. And then we have Ibn Kathir, who has a separate work called Fada'il al-Qur'an. And we have Imam al-Qurtubi, rahmatullahi alayhi, who has a book called At-Tidhkar fi Afdal al-Adhkar, which is all about the virtues of the Qur'an. And lastly, for those of you who speak Arabic, if you're looking for a very accessible work that's easy to read, the best work, in my opinion, is the work of the late Sheikh Abdullah Sirajuddin al-Husayni, rahmatullahi alayhi, who died in the year 2004, the great muhaddith of Halab. His book is Tilawatul Qur'an al-Majid. He wrote this book in the 90s, and this is a very widely respected book in the field. that condenses and summarizes most of what was in the older books. But we're taking all of it and putting it together in hopefully an accessible way so that we come out of this with a deeper appreciation of the Quran and a commitment to become more attached to it in this month and outside of this month, inshallah ta'ala. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.